Thank you. Thank you, Brenda. To be up front, us greeting people in the back. It's so good to see everybody this morning. I'm glad we can fellowship. We're doing so many things here at church. There's so many things going on, which is really, really cool. So what I want to do is I want to have some announcements with you this morning, walk through some things that are in your bulletins. And also, you know, we had a celebration of life for Daniel Albers yesterday. Did that over in St. Joe and then had the internment. It's a very powerful ceremony. There was just so many people that turned out for that. And, you know, in my years of ministry, it's probably one of the largest turnouts that I've ever seen for a graveside. But it was such a wonderful, beautiful show of support. And, you know, these things are tough. Daniel was 38 years old. And he also lost his best friend, Lucas, in the accident. So we just lift up the family. But the service was, you know, it was beautiful. Holden and Owen wrote letters that I shared, and it was just good. So God is good, and he's able to get us through these very difficult times. So please keep the family in your prayers, and we'll certainly mention them in our prayers in the service. And I will make an announcement about that just at the end. So for us here at church also, there's just a boatload of stuff happening, and I'm very excited about that. One of the things that I'll start off with first is in the back of the church, we have a display for Operation Christmas Child. As your pastor, I am absolutely delighted. There's only 4 boxes left, so that is really cool. And I was talking to Larry and Sandy last night, one of our members, and they were just so excited. They actually went out and shopped so much, they had to get more boxes. So I hope that happens to everybody. It's a lot of fun to shop. And one thing I would like to say briefly is that it's difficult for us to understand what that child is going to feel like that opens that box. And so I pray that as you pack that box, you're praying for the child that's going to receive it, because that is a really powerful and wonderful thing. We have the Haiti concert coming up next Saturday. Of course, the Saturday service knows that we will not have the worship service, but at 6 p.m. we're going to have the concert. Please come for that. And it's going to be a beautiful event. It is marvelous that we can support 2 schools in Haiti, even with all the other things we're doing, and that Trinity Hope can still reach out and bring meals for like a quarter a day. How is that possible? And we know from people in Haiti actually living there, Haitians, that that's likely the only meal they're going to get. So the impact that we're having is beyond anything we as wealthy, well-to-do Americans can even begin to understand. So it's an awesome thing. I would encourage you to turn out and encourage you just to rejoice with us as we rejoice in what Trinity Hope and what we're able to do in Haiti. And besides, you'll be able to hear the great Jake Boys, which are really good gospel music. So now I mentioned already there's a number of your bulletin insert items. I just covered 2 of them. So please hold on to them and let them remind you of some of the wonderful things we're doing. And then also one thing I want to mention to you is there is in your bulletins, pardon me, let me locate it. It's really full of stuff this week, isn't it? Isn't that great? Awesome, we're doing so many things. Praise God for that. God is good. And this actually did not come from me. This came from within one of our home groups. And so this is a beautiful thing. I was very, very happy to see God's people coming together with concern for a fellowship hall. It's more than a building. It's our opportunity to serve God and share the love of Jesus Christ through having it. And so these are prayer items that have been put together. We're going to begin today. And every day we're going to ask you, not just me, but members of the congregation that really, Lord, put this on their heart, to pray through these every day. It's in an insert, so it's very easy. Just please take home, put it on your refrigerator or somewhere where you'll see it, and then just pray these items every day. And us together as a congregation and even people outside of our congregation will be praying for these. And this is so powerful. God hears prayer, and it's a blessing, not just for ourselves. Let's think beyond that. For the people that we will yet touch, because this building is going to be here longer than we are. And so we just want to remember that God can use it for the glory of his kingdom. So this is a great way to start, and prayer is such a beautiful thing. So please hold on to this, and we'll work through 20 days of prayer. We begin today, and I'll mention it during our service. God's richest blessings to you. Thank you for your patience in the announcements. There's also a new newsletter out. There's copies in the back. And it's good for us to share, and it's good for us to be in tune and in touch. Celebrating All Saints Day today, remembering the passing of those that have passed in 222. I would invite you at this time, dear friends in Christ, let's stand. And let's begin our worship with our opening hymn.
Thank you.
This month we're using Divine Service 1, if you're following along in your hymnals. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one body through faith in Jesus Christ. Grant that we would follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to enjoy the blessed fellowship you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated while Dave shares our scripture reading.
The first reading is from Revelation. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 John, the third chapter. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to please rise. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't rise. Please be seated. We had a screen on there too, but just on autopilot. My bad.
Through the deep waters I call thee to.
Thank you, choir. My favorite hymn is beautiful. Please rise. Share the Holy Gospel with you this All Saints Day. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleases to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess, I believe God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated while we sing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. Great to be able to share the Word of God with you. I want to talk to you. There's a verse up there I'll get to in a minute, but this will help us with what we're going to work through. Been talking about focus for the last few weeks, last 2 weeks. This is the third week. And what I want to do this week and next week, partially because we've begun our prayer vigil for the fellowship hall and our service in it, is talk about your purpose. Why am I here? That's one of the most essential things. And then also next week, I'll talk about why are others here? So two things for us to consider in the next 2 weeks. Why am I here? Why did God create you? Why did he create me? And why are others here? Like, those are essential questions that we need to ask in our lives. Now, our society, I do need to make some comments on, because in our American society, we are taught, unfortunately, to believe that we're accidents. And it really is, whether it's things that we have in our society, such as abortion, such as evolution, these things are just normal parts of the fabric of who we are, what we're taught, what we grow into, what we believe is true and right, to the point where if you dare to speak against them, you will definitely incur the ire of both Christians and non-Christians alike. Here's the thing, and I know we have an election on Tuesday. I'm not interested in being political, and I'm not a political person. I'm really not. Wife can testify to that. God can testify to that. My issue is this. They diminish our value as unique creations of God. You are not created by accident. And for us to lose that, and I'm sorry for getting a little bit excited, but this is essential for us to realize. You see, we're not, you know, just thing that happened in creation, not thought about, as some might even preach to you today, a problem in this world that needs to be maybe even by some eradicated so we can survive better. God Almighty said he created us at the pinnacle of creation. Here's an analogy before I move on. I would like to share this with you. At the service yesterday, Brianna and Kevin. Now, Kevin is Dan's brother, and Brianna is Kevin's wife, a 4-month-old baby. That was beautiful. It's beautiful to see that in the service. You know, it's just so uplifting. You see light in the face of a death. This is just. But if you've had kids, and most of us have had children, weren't you excited about your first child? Did you not prepare a nursery? Did you not get clothes? Did you not? I mean, weren't you excited? All your friends, and I'm sorry for getting excited myself, but I love our kids, and I'm sure you love your kids. It's not that we don't have problems in our families. I get that, but still. And didn't God do the same thing when he made creation? He made everything that was needed for us to have this life, a beautiful life, and many things apart from sin truly are awesome and beautiful. And God himself, when he had made all those things, he said, "It is good. It is good." He said, "What I've made, it's perfect. It's good." And it's just like a parent. You know, you have everything ready, and he put Adam and Eve down in it, and that was, James tells us, we're the pinnacle. We're the reason why he did all this. You have a purpose. You're not here by accident. Please don't let anybody tell you that. It's not true. And the world has never listened to God, and it's not going to, because faith and knowing God comes through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So it's huge for us to value who we are in God's eyes. In God's eyes. So I want to just have that as a foundation when you think about who you are. You know, why am I here? You're here because you're unique. There is a purpose for you in this world that is only for you. There is a plan, there is a thing for you to do in this world that is only for you. Look at the verse. If you don't believe me, look at the verse in your outline. Beautiful verse. This is Paul at the end of his life. He's getting ready to be martyred. And he writes this to his dear brother and his comrade in faith, Timothy. He says, it's in your bulletins, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life." He did this, and get this, not because we deserve it. We don't deserve any of this. But because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Paul knew this. This is what came to him. And the thing is there's many distractions in our lives. There's many distractions, and I could spend just umpteen minutes getting distracted with all the distractions we have. We're all concerned about making money. Some of us concerned about being rich. Some of us concerned about all sorts of things. Many things, which I will mention, is many of us wallow in our mistakes. And I would encourage you, as one that has made many mistakes, sure as we all have, doesn't help. The cross is good enough. Cross is good enough. And so if your thoughts, and if anything that you've done or didn't do haunts you, and the devil comes to you and say, "Well, now, God's going to bring that to mind." You say, "Fine, devil, bring it to mind. But I guess, devil, you've forgotten about the cross. Because God brought it to mind on the cross. And I believe that it's there, nailed. And I am free." And so we do have many, many distractions that turn us away. And let me impress this upon you. Whenever you are distracted from following God, whenever you are distracted from following our Lord and what he would call us to do, always return to where you started, and it's the cross. The cross is the bridge. The cross is the bridge between what God can and what he will do, because he loves us, as Paul says in Timothy. Because it's not because of us, not for what we do, but for his great grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ from the dead shows that Christ's power, God's power to us, for us, is without limit. Our distractions limit us. God wants us to be set free. It is good for us to pray, "Lord," as David prayed in Psalm 119, "turn me away from wanting any other plan but yours." Have you prayed that? That is a good prayer to pray. Lord, make my plans your plans. You pray, "God, I don't want anybody else's plan for my life. I just want your plans. I want you. I want, Lord, to adopt your purpose for me." And you know, really, that's what it looks like, adopting God's purpose for our life. And it doesn't matter whether you're a leader, whether you're a pastor, just a person, you're a parent, you're a spouse, you're a child, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, but Jesus calls us to adopt God's purpose. And you know, we want that for our life, and that starts with a personal commitment. It really does. It's not automatic. It's really not automatic. Our foes, the world, the flesh, and the devil are too great. That's why I put the verse on your screen. This is Peter. He's writing. He opens up his epistle. He says, "Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, mutual affection. To mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being effective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't add the second verse, but guess what it says right after that? I encourage you to look it up. He says, for then abundantly will be given to you a wide open door as you enter glory when you die. Here's a question. Why do we have to add anything to our faith? Does that sound right? We're complete. We're whole. Why in the world do we need to add? What does that mean that we should add to our faith? Is your faith in Christ not complete? Are you not fully saved? Are you not resting assured in the grace of Christ? Do you not have a home in heaven? Well, I don't think it's that your faith is not complete. It is very complete. But the thing is this, is our God is that big. And we are that sinful. Our God is that big and that perfect and that wonderful and that full and that awesome. And we are so small and so confused and so consumed with our distractions, thinking that our lives are so big and so important. But our God is so big and we can't begin to fathom all the fullness of who He is, and all the fullness of God is Christ. And we are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And in this mystery and this wonder, all of us are absolutely unique. There is a fullness in Christ that this life does not give you the time to fully experience. But Peter is encouraging us, press into that. And he's saying, you do these things. He says, not because you're not saved, you're not doing this to be saved. You're doing this because we are so small and God is so big and the grace is so beautiful and it is so wonderful. And we are so small and God is so big and there's so much. The door is wide open. He has chosen this for us from the beginning of time. Beautiful, wonderful promises, which interestingly enough is how Peter actually entered this verse you see here. He says, He has given us beautiful, wonderful, precious promises by which we can become partakers in the divine nature, which sometimes I share during Holy Communion. This is our path. This is our purpose right here. And you'll never, as Paul says, he says, I'm not there yet. I will never get there yet in this lifetime. But this is what it is. And before you think about serving others and using your gifts, sometimes you get sidetracked with that and put the cart before the horse. The first thing is who you are in Christ and the purpose that God has for you. And you see it here. It's a beautiful thing to grow in. Wonderful, beautiful thing. So I'd like to finish up. And before I do, actually, the best example of this I can possibly think of, I should mention it in passing, is the one that that we have studied for the last 10 weeks was the Apostle Paul. In our book from Acts, you can see he went from a church hater and a terrorist to actually being one of those incredible witnesses for the gospel of God. There you go. The power of God's word and the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. So this is God's plan and purpose for us. How that works out in real life, well, I'll tell you, that's the last point in your outlines. Because it is by faith. It is not by works. We anticipate and rely on God's help. We anticipate and rely on God's help. If that is not in your mind, pray God that it would be. God will answer that prayer. Ask God to put that in your mind daily, that it would percolate up above all the other thoughts, and you would think, Lord, I need your help in this. I'm feeling that I need to bear this burden on my own, and that I'm sorry. I realize that you're standing right beside me. Lord, I give this burden to you, and I will anticipate and I will rely on your help. Look at this beautiful verse from 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. In closing, there's a a person that comes to mind from 2 Kings 20. There's allotted 5 chapters of the Bible to him. It's King Hezekiah. I don't think there are very few people that have 5 old chapters of the Old Testament allotted to him. His testimony is this. He relied on God right at the beginning of his kingship. It says that he relied on God, which is the word in Hebrew, faith and trust, more than any person before him and more than any person after him. And the Lord brought him trials upon trials and difficulties upon difficulties of a magnitude the average person never has to deal with, because the Lord saw that faith as his precious salvation and thought to refine it and cultivate it, enrich it, cause it to grow, so he would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that my God is with me, he is beside me, and I have nothing to fear. And isn't it as Jesus himself told us, encouraging his apostles, as he ends his talk to them in the book of Matthew 28:20, Jesus himself said, "And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age." Indeed, he is. He is with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. We sing our offertory. On this All Saints Day, we want to remember those that have passed away in this last year in 2022. And so Wayne Schmidt left to go be with the arms of Jesus Christ. That was on January 14th. Maurice Nock passed away on June 12th. Layla Dittman passed away on July 29. Daniel Albers passed away on October 29th. It is very hard for us that remain, and I invite you to please encourage the families of our members as they deal with these losses, for it hurts us dearly, but we know that they rest and are with loving presence of Jesus Christ, for the Bible tells us if we are away from here, we are with the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us for a purpose. And indeed, you wish to develop that purpose in us. Lord, open our hearts and minds to the working of your word and your Holy Spirit, We thank you, Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless us in our efforts to build a fellowship hall. Lord, and not just a building, but Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we pray together as a congregation, as we unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we ask that you would hear our prayers and respond, that you would bless us to share the love of Jesus Christ with each other and with our community and even out to the world. Lord, send workers, and not just pastors and leaders, teachers. Lord, we ask that you would bless us and encourage all of us, Lord. For all of us indeed have abilities that you have given us. Lord, let us be open then to your work in us and sharing that with others. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with the groups in our church and the works that they do. Lord, we thank you for, again, all the work on the fellowship hall, and we pray that you would bless that effort and our service in it. Be with the LWML and the tasks that they do, Lord. We pray that you bless their meeting coming up this week, Lord, and we thank you for the quilts and the many things that they do. Lord, we ask for the preschool, too. We pray, Lord, that you would bring just more and more children into the preschool. Bless them. Bless their ministry. Bless the chapel, Lord, that we will have. And we pray, Lord, that you would just let the seed sown in their hearts, Lord, in the classroom, just bear good fruit in the kids' lives and in their families. Lord God, we thank you for the Operation Christmas Child boxes. We ask, Lord God, that these would reach their destination safely, and that they would be a great blessing of the gospel and of the love of Jesus Christ to those who receive them. Lord, be with the concert coming up. Lord, we thank you that we can engage with Trinity Hope. And thank you for the two schools we support. Thank you that, Lord, miraculously, through your grace, Lord, they're still feeding children, even in this troubled environment of Haiti. Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask that the concert will be a blessing, Lord, not only for us who attend, Lord, but also, Lord God, for Trinity Hope and for the people that we love and serve in Haiti. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask, Lord God, that you would be with the youth gathering coming up in our district this next Saturday, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to serve in it, Lord. We thank you for all the youth from our district, Lord, that are coming to that. Bless you, Lord. Make that a wonderful event for them. Lord God, we ask that you would be with us, Lord, at our live nativity. We pray, Lord, that you would inspire us and help us. Lord, we thank you that you yet give us another opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ in a bold way with our community. Thank you for our comfort dogs, Lord, that served yesterday at Daniel's service, Lord. And thank you for the many things that they do in our community and at our church. For these and many other things, Lord, we bless you. Continue to inspire us in our service to you, Lord, in your mercy. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that this world is a troubled place. We pray for the brothers and sisters that are suffering in challenging areas. Lord, for us in this country, we have elections this week. Lord, we ask that you would bless them. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to vote in this country. We have the freedom to do that. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that that is. We ask, Lord, that whatever leaders get selected, because we know that you choose them, that you are the God of history. Lord, we pray that they might use the power that you give them for a season, Lord, to use it for the benefit of the people, and that especially we could continue worship freely. And Lord, that you would bless us as citizens of this nation and of your kingdom to live a life of dignity and love and respect for all. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, be with those that need the special touch of your care. Lord, we remember the families of those that lost loved ones this year. We especially, Lord, remember the Albers family. And Lord, we just ask that you would help Rachel and Holden and Owen and Barb. Lord, that you would help them. Barb losing her son, and Rachel losing her husband, and Holden and Owen, their father. And also, Lord, with Kevin and Brianna, losing a brother and a brother-in-law. Lord, in the emptiness of his loss, Lord, we remembered how much he touched everyone's lives. Bless us with that remembrance, knowing, Lord, that our time on this earth is appointed by you. And that, Lord, you give us the strength, may you grant faith and abundance to help those that have lost loved ones to find that encouragement and hope in you, the God of all comfort. We thank you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we have in our hearts people that we mention by name that need help, strength, healing, work, hope, so many things. Lord, teach our hearts to bring these needs to you. Teach our hearts to anticipate and rely on your good grace, for you love to give it. And we will wait if need be, for you are good. For into your hands we commit everything for which we pray, trusting in your mercy through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our service will continue now as we celebrate Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death, given us life everlasting. And therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and singing,
Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Lord, it's with repentant joy that we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and Christ's blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Lord, graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Please be seated. The choir will sing. That's our usher, Fred Holhubner, will direct you forward to the rail. Welcome to the table of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen, preserve us in true faith now and into life everlasting, as we depart in his rich peace and his joy. Amen.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may this body and blood of our precious Savior strengthen and preserve us in true faith now and in the life of us. Best part is peace and thank you, Brenda. Please stand. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have indeed refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, your one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. To remain standing while we sing a beautiful closing hymn, we'll sing four verses for all the saints.
Have a blessed week, and as we celebrate All Saints Day and think about those that have passed on ahead of us, remember this: our God is not God of the dead, He is the God of the living. And those people are more alive than ever, and so are you in this world. So let us, just as them, anticipate, depend, and rely on our great God. Go in peace, serve the Lord.